action. Hey there, movie kings and queens. Welcome to episode 32 of the Real Game Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me, as always, is a guy who's always looking to get schooled, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
Oh, no, I'm so over school. No more school for this fool. No more school for this fool. I'm done.
There's nothing else you could learn?
Absolutely not. In fact, I'm actively working to dismiss some of the knowledge I accumulated over the years of my schooling and education.
Well,
I'm doing great.
You hear that, kids?
I'm doing great.
Stay out of school. All right. So, Ryan, how you feeling today?
I'm in a great mood.
That is awesome to hear.
And you all can't see it, but Mike really put a lot of work into our brand new podcast studio situation.
That's right. Yeah.
It's wonderful in here. It's got such a great feng shui. I just feel so legit.
I know. We're no longer sharing a space with my daughter's bed. So,
which is, you know, everyone's goal in life.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I do have a story and a half for Newsreel.
Ooh.
So first, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Deadpool 2 is returning to the theater.
I did see this.
Yeah. So it's coming out again on December 21st in a recut PG-13 version. So an image was released showing Deadpool and Fred Savage recreating the scenes of the grandfather reading to his sick grandson in Princess Bride. So I'm curious, what do you think the motivation is behind releasing this? Is it just money?
I mean, it's certainly money.
Well, right. But I feel like, so it's opening up on December 21st. That's the same day as Bumblebee, Aquaman, Welcome to Marwen, and Holmes and Watson.
So, I mean, in some respects, it's a brilliant idea because I'm sure they are like maybe making some new scenes and shooting some new things to incorporate into it to even maybe make light of the fact that it's PG-13.
Oh yeah. I'm sure that that's gonna.
Right. So, yeah. So for very little resources, they could steal some audience away from these other movies and get even more business.
Right.
I mean, both from younger audiences who weren't allowed to see the R-rated version for some reason, or from people who just really like the movie and want to see it again.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm very curious to see what they do with this.
Right, because usually it's the other way around. Usually a movie will be PG-13 and then they'll release like, this is the director's cut R-rated or unrated version, you know? It's never the other way around.
Yeah.
So I think that's very interesting. I hope they have some fun with it. Because when I first heard the story, I'm like, that's kind of stupid. What, is it going to be like a 30-minute movie if they cut out all the R-rated stuff? But then I heard that maybe they're going to film some new stuff to incorporate into it. And I think they can make it really interesting.
Well, and with Deadpool having a mask on, you can change a lot of his dialogue, too, and it not be awkward.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm curious to see how that turns out.
Curious. I won't say I'm like super excited for it, but like,
no,
I think it's interesting. I'm very interested to see how it's received.
Yeah. I'm more excited about most of those other movies, but,
yeah.
All right. So speaking of December 21st though, as I mentioned, Holmes and Watson is coming out that day.
Yes,
so
yes.
I want to ask you, did you see the trailer?
I did.
And?
Okay. So this was one of my five most anticipated movies. Mm-hmm. We're really getting into like my most anticipated movies time. We're done with yours. All yours were the summer. And all mine are like starting this week.
As we all know, I come first, you come second.
So it's one of my five. And I will say this. It's the one, now that we've started to see stuff from some of these movies, because when I made my list, we had seen very little, if anything, right, from all of mine. It's the one I'm probably least excited about.
Yeah.
I think it's the one that could easily be the worst. But if... And the trailer didn't super excite me, but I just have so much faith in the chemistry between Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly that I still am excited for it. The trailer maybe cut that excitement just a little bit, though. It wasn't a great trailer.
No, it, for sure. It did very little for me.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. The selfie scene with the queen, and they're like, yeah, girl.
Yeah. I see. That was my least favorite really? Part of
that
it.
That was the only one that I actually like laughed at.
I mean, the whole bit about them thinking that she's super hot, I thought was really funny.
Right.
and like arguing like, well, of course you think she's hot. You know, I don't know. I have a lot of faith in the two of them. So I will reserve judgment, but based on the limited we've seen from the five movies I said I was most anticipating, I would say this one has me the least excited of the five, but still curious.
Right. For the record, Ryan is curious.
Very, very curious.
All right. So that trailer actually, was before the movie that we are talking about. Did
Oh, not for me. Well, maybe it was for me, but I was running late too.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah. First of all, I think this is going to be, I'm predicting it, I'm calling it, this is going to be the last week of 2018 where there is any like trepidation about whether or not there's a movie worth reviewing.
Yeah.
Like, I think from here on, because starting this coming week, I am very excited.
We get hit in the over the head.
Yes, I'm very excited for what's coming. So I was not super excited for this one. And I'll be honest. So the only night I had off this weekend that I wasn't working was Saturday night. And then a friend reached out to me Thursday. I was like, hey, do you have any plans for the game on Saturday night? I was like, no, I'd already bought my ticket to the movie. So, so I canceled that ticket and I went straight from work to the movie on Friday night at 9:40. Got there late. So most of the trailers had already gone. So maybe they did play the Holmes and Watson trailer. And I was just like, I was already not looking forward to this movie and I was tired and exhausted. So
this is your favorite movie of the year.
I'm going to be a little low on this one, Mike. I'm going to be a little low on this one.
Well, I got there on time, had plenty of, I saw all the trailers. I'm going to possibly be kind of low on it myself. So your circumstances are...
But there is something to be said about, how and with whom you see a movie. So,
yeah.
Compare this experience when I had to rush to the movie that I didn't really even want to see, saw by myself after a super long, annoying day of work, versus the circumstances by which I'm going to be watching A Star Is Born, which by the time this podcast comes out, I have already seen it because I'm seeing it Tuesday.
On Tuesday, yeah.
Or I saw it on Tuesday, depending on when you listen to this.
Right.
And the same friends I went to watch the game with Saturday night, we were talking about the movie and we were all excited. So we bought our tickets. I actually paid the $18 because you couldn't get...
Oh, really?
They wouldn't let you use your A-list for the AMC for the... For these super early showings.
It's like the fan pre-show or something like that.
I don't know if it had any kind of official title or anything, but they're playing it at Easton starting tomorrow. It may have started tonight. I don't know. But tomorrow was the day earliest we could all go. So, or Tuesday, I should say, for our listeners. But yeah, so I feel like just the environment alone is going to get me more excited for that one. So I do feel like I may be lower on Night School than I would have been had I gone with a bunch of hardcore Kevin Hart fans not after a super stressful day of work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, and it's one of those two where, so I heard about, so somebody who went and saw it on like the advanced screening kind of thing where it was a packed theater, that the whole, that it seemed like the theater was really enjoying the movie, even though they themselves didn't. But
yeah.
So that doesn't really prove my point that going to it.
But I do think it does impact your, like Mamma Mia 2, when I saw it this year, I was like I said during that episode, I was a little buzzed.
Yeah.
I was with some homosexuals and I was having a really great day in general. So I was primed to enjoy that movie probably more than I should have.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit now about Night School.
Let's talk a little bit.
You know, I think we can get away with talking a little bit, and then we'll talk about things that we enjoy more. So so the movie is about a group of troublemakers. Okay, so this is the IMDb description. A group of troublemakers are forced to attend night school in hopes that they will pass the GED exam to finish high school. Eh. Like, if I had read that description before going to see the movie, I don't know that that would have gotten me into the theater.
I don't know. I think it's a fine premise. I actually, it may be a little bit of a dated premise, but I think it's a fine comedic premise.
Yeah.
That just wasn't executed very well.
Do you know what movie I feel like this kind of reminds me a little bit of, but I thought did it a lot better? Did you ever see the Mark Harmon movie Summer School?
Oh, no, but I thought you were going to say Billy Madison.
Okay, that too. But no, so Summer School, it was an 80s movie.
Okay. But Billy Madison was a 90s movie. That's more my jam.
But instead of night school, it's summer school. And it's so these high school kids, in order to graduate, they have to attend summer school. Kirstie Alley was in it, and there was a bunch of hijinks in it. I really enjoyed that movie, much, much more so than this one. Billy Madison, I saw that once.
What? Billy Madison is a treat. It's so funny.
I liked Happy Gilmore better.
They
I mean, both not have that you can't like both.
Yeah, I like both a lot. They both have a very special place in my heart. Although, I also actually prefer Happy Gilmore, to be honest. But they're both great movies,
yeah,
in my opinion. But they were also very much part of my youth. Yep.
Yeah. And not that I disliked Billy Madison. I just saw it and I was like, I'm good.
But with this one, I think a lot of whether or not you end up liking this movie, Night School, teeters on what you think of Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So truly, and so what do you think of Kevin Hart just at large, not in this movie necessarily, but do you like Kevin Hart at all?
I'm not much of a fan, to be honest with you. I liked him in Jumanji.
Yes, I agree. I thought he was great in Jumanji.
So as part of an ensemble, maybe, but as somebody who's supposed to be the male lead in the movie, he doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. And I will even go as far as to say, I mean, he is very much seen as kind of one of the, at the top of the comedy field right now, mm-hmm. like stand up, maybe not at the very top, but like in that upper echelon for sure. And what little I've seen of his stand up, I don't even think is that funny. I mean, I don't know what it is. He doesn't do it for me. Mm. It's just, I don't know. Whereas like anytime I watch, Dave Chappelle, yeah. I'm done. I can watch Dave Chappelle's
he's fantastic.
Netflix specials a million times.
Right.
Who else have I seen? I mean, he's terrible outside of comedy, but Louis C.K.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like his comedy style just cracks me up.
Suck a bag of dicks.
See, but something about Kevin Hart, I just have never found him that funny. I don't know. It's just it frustrates me because everyone says he's so funny and I just don't see it and I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I am with you.
I wonder if the people who really like Kevin Hart and really think he's funny, really, that's the audience for this movie and they would love it.
I think that that's probably true. I think that's exactly who...
Which is, if that's the case, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I am definitely in the minority
right.
in not thinking he's funny.
I mean, this was number one at the box office $28 million. Yeah.
So there's that. But there's also, let's play our Rotten Tomatoes game. Do you know what it is? You're not supposed to look at these, Mike.
I didn't purposely find it. I just, it hit me. I just saw it. I'm sorry.
You ruined my favorite game. No, so it got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. So yeah. That validates what we think.
I could have lied, but that wouldn't have been right.
That wouldn't have. I'm very proud of you and your integrity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, and the audience score wasn't much better either.
Actually, the audience score on one of the sites, they do like a grade, like A to F.
Yeah.
It was an A minus.
Okay. Well, okay. Then, but the...
Oh, the audience on like Rotten Tomato score? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But still. All right. Well, so this was directed by Malcolm D. Lee, who did Girls Trip.
Okay.
So obviously he's got a working relationship with Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen Girls Trip.
Oh, it's good.
It's another one where
it's good.
Yeah. I it's like, it's been on my list, but I haven't seen it yet.
You should watch Girls Trip. Ooh, well, it's on, it's streaming on, the HBO.
Oh,
so sorry about you. But, no, it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, I definitely want to check that out. If for nothing else, I want to watch it and compare it to this one.
There is no comparison. It's a far superior movie. It's so good. And this is not.
So, you know, besides our show, I listen to other movie reviews.
Yeah, same.
And I heard somebody talking about one of the differences between this movie and Girls Trip is that Girls Trip had two writers and there were like five or six writers.
I noticed that in the like opening credits.
Yeah.
It had like, I thought I counted like eight. I was also very tired,
but, but that to me feels like it can lend itself to, being incohesive.
Yeah, sure. I get that, but I don't think incohesiveness was the issue with this movie.
Or just too many people saying this should be done or that should be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's that. I think it was, for me at least, more just the things they did choose to do weren't funny. I mean, I totally get the whole, when you have too many people working on mm-hmm. something, it could come off very incohesive. I thought this movie came off as being fairly cohesive, but just not good. I don't know. And I can get into more of the reasons why when we're not talking this generally, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we've brought this up several times with other movies too, but so this movie came in kind of just under 2 hours and it
way too long. In fact, that's one of the things I looked at when I was going to this 9:40 show, because I knew that realistically meant it was going to start around 10 when
right.
you think about previews and yep. everything. And I had to work at 7 a.m. the next morning.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that was a rough weekend for me.
I will never question your dedication to this.
Correct. And we're at 7 a.m. Yes. You put a lot more time and energy into this than I do, Mike, but this was a rough week for me. But yeah, so I was like, how long am I have to be there? And then I saw it was almost 2 hours. I was like, how? I was so angry before the movie even started. How is this 2 hours? What do they need to do for 2 hours?
Did you have a cocktail in there?
Absolutely. I definitely went and got a beer before this one.
Oh yeah. And just not only the runtime of the movie, but some of the content of the movie itself, some of like the jokes and some of that stuff was just overplayed and dragged out too.
I usually feel that way about some of the jokes, and then some of the jokes land, and I don't feel like many of the jokes really landed for me. I do think the couple scenes where they did the whole Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart kind of clapping back and forth at each other, so the one at the like stoplight when they first sort of meet each other, and then there's one in the hallway,
yeah,
like that was just stupid.
Yeah,
not funny.
Well, I think that there was some ad-libbing going on.
Fine, but like, not funny.
Right, that's my point. It was just like, I'm not sure that Kevin Hart knows how to ad-lib very well.
No. And what's unfortunate, and I'll definitely talk more about this later, but I adore Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
I think she's great. And when I saw this was a Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish movie, because it's very much promoted as like, it's both of their movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be clear. It is not both of their movie. It is Kevin Hart's movie.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish happens to be in it.
Yeah. She definitely wasn't in it enough. I don't know that I necessarily blame the filmmakers though of this movie for that. I think she's been doing so many things that she probably had to have more of a limited, because some of it even seems like a lot of her scenes seem to be like in the same place or whatever, where like she could do all of her scenes in a day or two.
I don't know. There's just something odd about her in this movie that I did not enjoy. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe what you're saying is a little bit of it. But I also, like, she doesn't get any chance to shine.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Hart has plenty of moments in this movie where he is not with her and is doing his own Kevin Hart thing. Does she have any points in this movie where she's away from him and doing her own Tiffany Haddish thing?
No, there are no scenes with just her outside of the group.
Right. And I think the movie is worse for that, because she's so great and such a presence. And I think she knows it, because I actually listen to a podcast I listen to every that I listen to all the time. And the host of the podcast had her on. She was his guest, and they were talking, and he really was the one trying to promote like Night School. And when he was talking about it, she just kind of like didn't talk about it much, but then got really excited to talk about that other movie that's coming out that she's in.
Nobody's Fool. I finally remember the name.
I can never remember the name of that damn movie, which is weird, because I'm much more excited about that movie. I think that movie looks, I'm way more excited to see that. I'm very excited
about that one.
And she was more excited to talk about that movie than this one. She doesn't hide her emotions very well, I will say that. And when she was talking about SNL and when she was talking about Night School, she kind of had the same, like, kind of not wanting to talk about it tone.
I think I'd heard, though, that she and Kevin Hart had some kind of tiff while making this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, she did spend part of the interview, like, when the interviewer asked her, you know, who makes you laugh, who's really funny to you, she talked about Kevin Hart. Like, she said that he's just a hilarious person to be around, that he cracks her up. So she wasn't really disparaging towards him necessarily, but like the movie, she wasn't talking very much about it all. Like, she wasn't trashing the movie by any means, but like when given the chance, she wasn't like, oh my gosh, it's so funny, it's so good, you gotta go out and see it. You know what I mean? Whereas she kind of was saying that about Nobody's Fool. So maybe she knows that this movie wasn't that good either.
Maybe, or maybe she had more input into Nobody's Fool. Like,
maybe, because it does seem from the trailers that that is like her movie.
Right.
She yeah. seems to be very front and center.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if she has more personally invested into
yeah.
into the other movie, I could see why maybe she's more excited to talk about that.
I could too, for sure.
Do we even do a spoiler warning, or do we just talk about what we want to talk about and not worry about it?
What is there to spoil?
I know, right? So if you haven't seen Night School and you think that you
good
might,
for you. I envy you. I truly do.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what were our other options that we could have seen this week? Smallfoot, that fucking animated.
I'm not seeing that, Mike.
No. Oh, no. I'm not saying that we no, should. Those were our choices for new movies this past yeah. weekend. You
like
know?
I said, this, I feel like this was truly, I mean, there's kind of that buffer zone between the big summer movie season yep. and the big, like, I don't want to call it just Oscar season, because there's certainly a lot of other things like Halloween and Mary Poppins Returns and that kind of thing that come out during the holidays. I guess I call it the holiday movie season yeah. that starts with like Halloween type movies and Oscar movies and big Christmas releases. So this was kind of the last weekend of that buffer zone between the two, because I really feel like A Star Is Born is going to really kick off yeah. in a big way.
I tell you though, I am super excited about the new Halloween movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Venom, and I was about to leap over this table. I am too, but I'm containing my excitement one weekend at a time.
That's fair.
I'm anticipating this Star Is Born movie. I think it's the most excited I am about any movie I've gone to see this year so far. Just because I know nothing about the story. I've never seen any of the other versions.
Stars Borns.
Yeah, Stars Are Born or whatever. So I'm going in with kind of a blank slate. Although I will say I have listened to the song Shallow about 20,000 times.
Is that on iTunes right now?
I don't know if it's on iTunes, but I've been listening to it just like on YouTube or
gotcha.
Something. But I've been listening to it a million times because it's just so good. It's the song from the trailer.
Right.
And I'm just so excited.
One headline that I saw was, yes, everybody's saying that The Star Is Born is great, but does that automatically mean that it's an Oscar contender?
Yes, 100%. It has everything that the Oscars love. It's the Oscars love a serious musical.
Right.
They love they love big names in general, but they love when a big name is also the director, like Ben Affleck with Argo, Clint Eastwood and all the shit
right,
he's done.
Right,
like
right.
They love when a big name star goes behind the camera and does something prestigious. They love someone who you wouldn't expect from another big area. So like pop stardom to come in and like, it's just definitely like it ticks everything. I just feel like Lady Gaga is going to be nominated. Bradley Cooper is going to be nominated. It'll be interesting to see if he's nominated for actor, director, or both.
Right.
That song is going to be nominated
say, you know
for
that
sure.
That song is going to be nominated.
Yes, and they are going to
be
performing
perform.
It. Oh, my God, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's going to be such a big fucking deal, and I am here for it. I am so excited for it. And lest I remind you, two RuPaul's Drag Race queens are in this movie. That means nothing to you, but it means a lot to probably many of our listeners.
What it does mean to me is that there is going to be a positive homosexual representation in this movie.
Yeah, Lady Gaga. Actually, it was funny. So me and the two people I'm going to see it with is another gay guy and a straight woman. And she's so excited.
So she's a gay guy.
She's so excited for Bradley Cooper and was talking about, she was like talking about how hot he is, thinking that we were going to be like echoing that. And we were both like, no, Gaga. we are so excited for Gaga that like, that is completely overshadowed any lusts for Bradley Cooper.
I'm looking forward to seeing Bradley Cooper. I'm not going to lie.
This is how much we hate Night School, as we have gone on for a very long time about next week's movie.
Are you sure that's what we're doing next week?
I am 100% sure. I will fight you to the death about that.
I will go solo.
We already reviewed that one.
Oh, yeah.
I know you want to review Venom. We will find a way to review Venom as well. But
I feel like that review may end up being venomous.
But we are reviewing A Star Is Born. That is a full episode. I'm telling you, we can't even record the episode before it without talking about it because of me.
In fact, the only newsreel stories are going to be other stories involving A Star Is Born.
Yes.
Our recommendation is going to be go see A Star Is Born.
My recommendation is the movie we just reviewed. I already have plans to see it at least twice before we record.
Ryan, we are so gay.
No, I am so gay. Yeah, you're true. Just catching it by like secondhand contact.
I was just trying not to be so, you know, judging.
I appreciate you trying that. But trust me, no judgment can deter my excitement.
Gaga gaydom.
That sounds weird.
I'm okay. On can number two here. Just
Night School.
Oh shit! Are we still talking about that?
Night School.
Fuck it. Why don't you? Do you have anything else specific to say, or should we just get into our takes?
Do you have anything about any of the side characters? Any of those folks?
I did. So
that doesn't spoil any of your takes.
No, this won't. So outside of like the main cast or, you know, outside of Tiffany Haddish and
and Kevin Hart.
Right. Yep. Main cast.
Right.
I really liked, Romani Malco. He was the guy that like kind of sat in the back that was,
Oh, right.
Yeah. He was in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to think of what he was in because he looked very familiar. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I can't name anything else besides that. Rob Riggle.
Yeah, he's very hit or miss. Like, he has his shtick and is very, like, is what it is.
It's very, well, you know, and I know that he, look at me, I'm going to mention sports things. I know that he's actually been on, like, NFL shows talking about sports and stuff like that. He's very much just that kind of like ex-jock bro kind of guy, like, slash character.
Like the high school football star who's now in his 40s and still of that same mindset.
Right.
Like that's his character in everything.
Right.
I mean, he was the gym coach in 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
And was super funny in that, playing this role. And by this role, I mean the same role he plays in everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were parts of it, this, that I thought were okay with that, you know, were kind of funny, but like, cause I like him and I think he does that better than most people could.
I had higher hopes for Taron Killam.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him on SNL.
He's not on there anymore.
Well, I liked him on SNL.
He left to do things like this.
I don't know. He just, the whole like black voice thing just.
Okay. We're going to deviate again. Did you see the new SNL?
No, I haven't seen
it yet. You haven't? Okay.
No. I know Kylo Ren was on there, but I have.
I thought you were really excited about that.
Well,
why was he on it? Is he in anything? Is he in something that's like, usually they get people like when they're trying to promote a movie or something.
Well, I mean,
it's like, what is he promoting?
He was in Black Klansman. I mean, that's a couple months old now.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we got to get someone from Black Klansman.
I don't know. I mean, they're filming episode 9. Is there a new season of Girls coming out? I don't know.
See, yeah, that's the thing. I thought that was an interesting choice. Although he was a great host. Like, he did very well. He's got far more range than I think a lot of people would give him credit for.
So here's the thing, though, too. So I do want to go back and watch it for him. But I've caught some of the clips of Kanye.
Oh, I didn't watch any of that part.
Oh, my God.
He's terrible.
He came out for his live performance wearing his MAGA hat and started like giving some pro-Trump rhetoric, like 90% of the media is liberal. You aren't here in the other side. You don't know what it's really like.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So now when I go back and watch it, I am going to fast forward through anything with Kanye.
I mean, I actually typically, because, you know, I don't care for most music. I typically don't watch the music guests unless it's someone if Gaga were on it, I would watch it. But if it's
someone... She had an awesome performance early on, too.
Yeah. So, it was a good episode. It was a good start to the season.
Awesome.
I know a lot of people are down on SNL nowadays, but I really... And they started, the opening was making fun of Brett Kavanaugh and his little hearing this week. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. And didn't somebody special guest for that cold
open? Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, that's right. Yeah.
Matt Damon played Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was pretty funny.
So, again, we saw a movie.
I have almost no interest in talking about this movie, as you can tell. Do you want to just go into takes? We can do that.
Let's just fucking get into our takes.
Fucking fuck it.
Fucking fuck it. Fuck. Okay. All right, Ryan. Real takes.
Real gay takes.
What is your gayest take?
So, this movie took a very awkward turn for me at a point.
Okay.
You may know what point I'm about to mention, but there's a point, and I want to talk about this, the point where they reveal that Tiffany Haddish's character is a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Like, it felt so disingenuous.
It really did.
Because here's my theory. I think that they thought that the chemistry between Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish would overshadow the chemistry between Kevin Hart and the actress who played his actual romantic interest.
Right.
And they were like, well, we got to think of a reason why Kevin wouldn't just be with Tiffany. Well, we'll just make Tiffany a lesbian.
That's exactly what I thought.
You know, it reeked of that.
Yeah.
And I was just, because they didn't show, I actually thought when they said that, I bet Tiffany Haddish is going to get with Kevin Hart's girlfriend's best friend, the one that was always lingering around for no reason.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I bet they're like together.
That would have been good.
But that wasn't the case. Like, they didn't reference it in any other way. And I thought it was stupid because it almost made it seem like, well, Kevin Hart's so irresistible and they have such great chemistry. She'd have to be a lesbian not to be attracted to him. Like, it kind of felt like that to me.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I thought it was so stupid.
I'm with you. No, I agree.
Usually I get excited when there's some LGBT representation in a movie, but it felt so disingenuous.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it wasn't done to be inclusive or have any kind of representation. It was a bad plot device.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if Tiffany Haddish were a lesbian, who would you want to see her in a relationship with? Go.
Oh, Oprah.
Oh, my God. yep. Sweet. That's funny. That's good.
How about you?
I mean, oh, see, I picture being with a really, like, a more masculine woman.
Okay. See, I feel like she's the masculine woman.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know.
Like a Brigitte Nielsen?
Ooh, how about her and, like, Christina Aguilera? They should be together. That'd be a wild couple.
Yeah.
That'd be some fun. That'd be fun. Just think of, oh, they would be very, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I like that. A diva and a comedy queen together.
Sure.
That'd be fun.
I don't see that one, but I'll allow that for you.
Or Betty White.
Oh, God.
her and Betty White. That'd be great. Or Martha Stewart.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That one I could see.
Tiffany Haddish and Martha Stewart.
Yeah, and they're like inviting Snoop Dogg over for an occasional threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so should I go into mine?
Go into your gayest take, Mike.
Okay, so I get the feeling that the owner of Christian Chicken goes...
I know where you're going, and I love it. Mike, I am so fucking proud of you right now. Keep going. Do it.
So I get the feeling like he goes home at night to like his bear boyfriend and like gets into like a leather harness and a ball gag.
Yep. Yep. I love it. Mike, I am so proud of you. This is the best gayest take you have ever had in the history of this show. Yes, yes, yes. This is the first time you've had a gayest take. And I was like, I am so mad I did not think of that.
Oh. One that wasn't like so literal. To...
Yes, Mike. Oh.
I'm learning from you.
You are, God, you're such a great human, and I appreciate everything about you. That was wonderful. Well, you took me on a great journey, and I am better for it. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Why, thank you.
That was the best gayest take I think we've ever had on this show. That's it. We're done. This has been done. A real gay movie show.
Tune in next week. all right. Well, let's go from that high to some lows and throw some shade.
Okay. My shadiest take. So I mentioned the circumstances under which I saw this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long day. Very tired. I had to be up early in the morning. I may have slept through some of this movie.
And I feel like you didn't miss a thing.
I do too. But I didn't sleep through much of it from what I surmise. Like it was around like that kind of middle section of the movie. Like they were very much into the night schooling and the, I would say kind of like the 3/4 mark of the movie.
Okay.
And I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And it did.
And it did.
And because I was not looking forward to it. I was not entertained. The movie, I was fine with it. But yeah, I woke up in time to see like everything with like the testing and all that stuff. But yeah, I definitely conked out. I don't know if it was for 5 minutes or 10 or 20. I don't know. But it was a while.
It was long enough, though, that
it was long enough to when I woke up, I was like, okay, something's happened.
Right. That's funny.
Yep. Yep. That was me.
Okay. So my shadiest take is, so I want to know, how was it that the entire class was not arrested after breaking into the school, stealing a test, vandalizing the office, and putting a janitor in a chokehold and locking him in the closet? You know.
Oh, no. How is it that Brett Kavanaugh is going to get to be on the Supreme Court? It sounds like it's pretty much up the same alley of whatever he did.
So,
sorry to bring politics into this. I shouldn't have done that.
That's all right. I'm going to leave it, though. So, I feel like it almost would have been a better reveal to the fiance that he was taking night school classes. Like, if they were all in jail and like he had to like then break down and call her to bail them out, and then he had to explain what was going on. Like, I thought the whole prom thing was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have, that would have been a way to avoid any of that prom stuff.
I think that's when I woke up, was when prom was happening. Cause I was like, why are they at prom? I didn't get that at all.
I mean, first of all, what lame ass school holds their prom in their gym? Second of all,
yeah, for sure.
How are they having night school classes going on the night that there was prom?
And why is night school so involved in all the parts of this school? Like, they were even at the graduation.
Yeah.
And like, they got a speaker at graduation. That was stupid.
Add that to the shadiest take, unless that is your shadiest take.
No,
your shadiest. All
right, I slept.
Yeah. Sorry. I slept through that.
I slept.
Yeah. So
yeah.
All right. My friend.
Yes.
If anybody, who slayed?
So my slay was one of the side characters. She had a interesting little bit that I kind of thought was, at least in the terms of this movie, I thought was the funniest, because I'm a Southerner. And this movie took place in Georgia.
Around, I did notice that. Around
Atlanta. It's always fun.
That's why the school had the prom and the gym.
Shut up. But I love whenever a movie actually... They do a lot of filming in Atlanta.
Right.
Like, a lot of the Marvel movies...
But it's not always,
Atlanta,
like...
Set in Atlanta.
Being Atlanta.
Yeah, but, like, Baby Driver. You know, I love... Because I live, you know, in Georgia, and I'm very familiar with Atlanta. And so I love whenever I see them driving down the street or something. I'm like, ooh, I know exactly where they are right now. That's very cool. Anyway, I don't know why I got on that tangent. But one of the side characters, really, like, she was actually, I recognized her because I was a big fan of the show 24.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was on that show. And it's Mary Lynn, I don't know how to say her last name. Rajkob? Something like that.
It's not very Southern.
Yeah, but I like... Oh, that's why I mentioned Atlanta. So she did this very Southern thing where she kept, like, talking about her life and just how terrible everything was.
But
and
I'm then blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm so blessed.
I'm so blessed. I loved that. I thought that was... Okay, I liked that bit. I thought that was
all
really
right,
funny.
I'll give you that.
I'm so blessed. My kids are terrible. My husband's awful.
Oh, here's something interesting. So, going back in time here, she apparently was in one of the movies that was on Doug's Fierce Five list called Mysterious Skin.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
Yeah. Just a quick little throwback, just looking at that there. So anyway, yeah, that's a good pick. I would probably say she was my second favorite of the auxiliary cast.
Well,
students.
Who was your favorite of this movie, your slay of the movie?
Good.
Kevin Hart.
Segue. Nine.
Nine Kevin Harts.
Actually, no. Good God. I don't think my psyche could handle nine Kevin Harts. Actually, despite the reduced screen time, if you will, I actually said Tiffany Haddish.
Okay.
I just felt like, for the role that she had, she kind of stepped outside of what she typically does. I mean, there were definitely some of those extreme Tiffany Haddish kind of moments and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah.
But I you know, like the scene of her like working with the special ed student and I don't know. I really felt like she at least brought a caring role into the mayhem.
Sure.
So they shouldn't have made her a lesbian because it's disingenuous. But I would have liked to have maybe seen them show a little bit more of what she did outside of school.
Yeah.
But apparently it's kickboxing or whatever.
I think I slept through a lot of that.
Did you?
I think so.
That's a gas. Hydrogen.
Whatever.
Methane.
I don't remember any of that. Yep. I slept through that. Yep. That happened.
Okay. Well, you didn't miss much. All right.
That was a great slay, Mike. That was a great slay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Really put some thought into it.
I know. I can tell.
No, ma'am.
Tiffany Haddish.
You know what? There was something you said earlier. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it kind of hinted at that, and I was like, "Oh shit!"
Yep. Tiffany Haddish, and again, I'm a big Tiffany Haddish fan, and that's part of the reason why she's my no ma'am is because she was so misused in this movie. It's a crime.
Yeah.
Like, because she is, for me, infinitely funnier than Kevin Hart, infinitely more talented than Kevin Hart, has so much more potential. So to have her play this, in my opinion, insignificant side character that only her only role in this movie is to play off of Kevin Hart and his shenanigans. She has nothing else outside of that. It's a complete waste of her immense talent. So it has so much less to do with her and so much to do with the filmmakers of this movie.
Yeah.
I just hate how she was using this movie, and it made me so angry that all she existed to do was play off of someone who I don't really find funny at all.
Which, ironically then, so Kevin Hart was one of the writers, and he was also one of the producers. So, you know, it's of course it's going to be the Kevin Hart show.
Well, I wonder if this movie kind of was in the works before she really broke out.
I wondered that too.
And once she did, they realized, oh shit, she is too big of a deal to just be like a side character. We need to promote this movie as like Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish movie and not just a Kevin Hart movie, because it's a Kevin Hart movie. That's all it is.
So she really took off after Girls Trip, right?
Right.
And which that was a year just ago. Last year.
Yeah.
So it's possible that this movie was in the works before that. I mean, at least as far as like,
right.
You know, getting people on board and stuff like that. So
like it was probably filmed late last year. So they knew she was big, but probably didn't realize exactly how big she was going to be.
Yeah.
Around this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my no ma'am. Just because I hated how she was used in this movie. I thought it was such a waste. And the whole, and the twist of her being a lesbian pissed me off so much, because it was disingenuous and using her identity in a very, I don't know, off-putting way.
Off-putting.
Yes. Anyway, let's get off of,
or,
off of that.
Or as Bill Cosby would say, off-putting.
No. Although, okay.
Too soon?
So, wait, here's the deal. So you're Bill Cosby, and you're in jail, and you go to get your lunch, and someone makes an offer for your pudding. Like, they're like, hey, I'll give you a pack of smokes if you give me your pudding. He's like, I'm not parting with my pudding pops. Have I mentioned that I'm very bad at impressions?
Yes.
So, Mike, what's your no ma'am?
My no ma'am is Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not great.
He's not.
Nope.
No. And it's just, it's more of the same Kevin Hart.
Yep.
But
I think, and it's just not in the cards because he's so popular and so well liked by so many people, which great for him. I mean, I'm very glad that that's the case for him, but I think he could be such a great supporting character. Like,
he's not a leading man.
Ensemble. Yeah,
he's just not a leading man.
He can't carry a comedic movie for me. Maybe, and listen, I would love for me to be proved wrong and for him to be
right.
A leading man in a comedy and just carry it and kill it and knock it out of the park and me be like, wow, that I did not see that coming. But I just don't see it. I see him in these like smaller roles.
Or do you know where I could see him being successful? In a sitcom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, that would much better suit his his talent or whatever.
But listen, he doesn't need career advice from us. He is selling out. He's literally sold out football stadiums for his comedy performances.
Yeah.
Football stadiums. That's like 50, 60, 70,000 people. He is doing fine. He does not need our endorsement. So he can, I think he'll weather this no ma'am from you and be probably come out just fine.
We'll see.
he is doing just fine.
Just fine.
Yeah. I mean, good for him, but damn, I hate his movies.
Okay. Now we can rate it.
Now we can rate it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Why don't you go first, Mike? I'll go first.
I gave it two reels.
Two reels.
I didn't like it. It definitely needs work. I don't hate myself for seeing it, but I certainly wouldn't recommend. Okay, I might suggest it to somebody if they wanted to watch it on Netflix or something like that.
Okay.
I may have even enjoyed it more myself if I had just seen it on Netflix. Sure. or something like that.
Sure.
The fact that I took time out of my day to get in my car and go and pay $5 for a soda while I sat and watched it definitely diminishes how I felt about the movie.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, so I was kind of looking at it and going back. See, the benefit of now having reviewed several movies is now I can compare this movie to like what I rated other movies. So I was looking at movies I gave, because I was kind of teetering between that 1.5 and 2 reels. And so I looked back at what movies I gave a 1.5 and what movies I gave a 2. I think I may have only given a 1.5 like once or twice. I've given a few 2s out. I wanted to go with a 1.5, but I was like, it's really not that bad. So I gave it a 2.
All right.
As well.
Yeah.
For very similar reasons. It needs so much work, and I did not really enjoy myself, and it was such a chore for me to see this movie. But if someone came up to me and we were talking about it, and they said, you know, I want to know if I should see this movie, the big question I would have for them is, are you a Kevin Hart fan?
Right.
And if they said yes, I would say, you know what? Yeah, you should go see it, because you will probably enjoy yourself for the vast majority of people who actually are Kevin Hart fans.
Right, exactly.
But if you're like me and you and you're not, I would say, no, don't go see it. You will not like it. You won't enjoy it. But I would imagine anyone who is a Kevin Hart fan probably would.
I mean, it is still just a stupid comedy, and I wouldn't begrudge somebody who said that they had a good time watching
sure,
it. And,
no.
And, you know, and that's really what the movie is trying to go for. Yeah. So I'm happy for somebody who did feel that way.
Right. But I mean, because I know there are lots of people who don't like Melissa McCarthy, so they probably wouldn't have liked Life of the Party, even though right. I really enjoyed it. And they would probably say the same thing to me. If you like Melissa McCarthy, you'll like this movie. Okay, I liked it. That's what I would say about this movie, is if I was a Kevin Hart fan, I probably would have liked it a little bit more, but right. I'm not, and so I didn't.
Fair enough.
So there's that.
Very, very, very good. Weekly recommendations?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do that.
So what is your weekly recommendation, Mike?
So it's kind of a two-parter. Really, I have a recommendation, and I also have a quick little plug. So
that's why you've been so happy?
I've been plugged. So my recommendation is, now I've had this for a couple weeks and I've been sitting on it.
I thought we were done talking about your plug, Mike.
I love it. That wasn't even on purpose.
I've been sitting on this plug for a couple weeks now, and I've just been dying to talk about
it. Oh, Jesus.
That was great.
All right.
That was the best.
Okay.
This has been the Real Gay Movie Show, folks. You can catch us on the internet. Okay.
Okay. So, anyway, I wanted to make sure I liked it before I recommended it. So it is the Spider-Man PS4 game.
Ooh, okay.
I have been playing that now for a couple weeks, and I don't have the time to like just sit down and play it for like hours. I know people who have already beaten the game and gotten through it. I don't think I'm even close to halfway through it yet, but it is a really fun game.
Yeah,
it's super cool to just be like web swinging around New York, and one of the tasks that you have is taking pictures of landmarks, and so it'll show up on the screen where one is, and you can go and it's like, you know, take a picture of the Daily Bugle, but also take a picture of the Empire State Building.
Okay.
And, stuff like that. So you're swinging around doing that. And I did see where the building that has the rainbow flag painted on the side.
Yeah.
I did find that too. So anyway, just it's a fun game. It is a PlayStation exclusive. But
speaking of that game, so I saw the Spider-Man has several outfits he can wear.
Uh-huh.
And one of the outfits, I posted on my Instagram story. I don't know if you saw it or if you've encountered it in the game, but it's just Spider-Man in his underwear and his mask.
Oh, that's not Spider-Man.
I don't care who it is, Mike.
So I remember seeing that, and I encountered that character in the game, and Spider-Man goes to a masquerade party. A Halloween party.
Sounds like my kind of party.
Yeah. And so there's all kinds of people at the party dressed up like Spider-Man. But there's one guy that this like beer gutted guy with.
That's, what? No, this guy is not beer gutted.
Oh, then maybe I am thinking of something different.
Yeah. No, this is like, hold on. I'm pulling up a picture for you, Mike.
Well, somebody else had posted the picture of this beer gutted guy, and oh, hello.
No, this is, yeah, this is a, this is.
When do I get to that part of the game?
He's wearing little Spider-Man undies and his mask.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is different. This is not what you're talking about.
Oh, that is not what I was talking about at all.
Yeah, so I saw that and I posted that on my Instagram story. And I posted it with like a thing, a little poll that said, is it wrong that I am attracted?
I did to... see that. Yes, I did see that.
Right.
Because I answered no.
Right. Yes. and then a couple of people like responded and DM'd me and said like, oh, I didn't know you had a PS4. What's your screen name or whatever. I don't know what it's called. And I was like, oh no, I don't have a PS4. I just happened to discover this on the internet and got really excited.
I'm not going to tell you what I was looking for, but I came across this while I was looking.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was, yeah, a great recommendation.
Awesome. Awesome. So real quick, if I can too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I used to do some YouTube stuff, and the name of my channel is Lovin' Stereo, LOVINSTEREO. And back when I was doing that is when I was kind of focusing on doing my own movie reviews. But every once in a while, I would throw in talking about music.
Which, may I add, was far less quality than when you added a co-host.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely why I added a co-host. But I brought it back as kind of a short form video kind of thing. I just put up my first episode, and it's less than 4 minutes long, and it's me talking about why I like the band Kiss.
Yeah.
And so I've got this to really talk about movies.
Sure.
But I still wanted to be able to talk about music that I'm into, and for the most part, you and I really aren't into the same kind of music.
Yeah, no.
So, so I was like, well, I'll bring it back in the YouTube format and go from there. And I'm not really fishing for too many likes on that. It's really just a thing for fun.
But can I say something about it? Because I watched the video,
okay,
and we don't share the same taste in music, and I would not consider myself a big Kiss fan, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really great video. I loved hearing kind of your, how you weave like your personal life story into why you love the music you love. And it is very entertaining. And if you haven't checked it out, you should. If you're a music fan, you'll very much enjoy it, because as much as I may not be the biggest music fan, I love hearing something that people are passionate about, and your passion comes across so much in it, and it is very, very cool, and I hope you keep doing it.
Oh, thank you.
And you'll have at least one view a week.
I appreciate that.
I will check it out.
Well, and one of the things that I said in the video is I'm not necessarily promising, you know, that it's going to be a weekly thing.
Sure.
I've got a lot going on.
Sure.
But
after talking with me for about an hour a week, it's hard to want to speak knowing you'll have to
this is
be
true.
Heard by other people.
I don't have enough White Claw.
No, there's not enough.
No.
You exhaust it all on me.
That's right. Anyway, but I appreciate that. And yeah, so anyway,
it's great.
That's what I got.
Sure. Okay. I also kind of have to.
Okay.
So one, I'll kind of throw back to last week's episode a little bit. And we... You mentioned a newsreel, The Princess and the Frog,
mm-hmm.
In relation to the new Wreck-It Ralph movie. And I talked about how they were showing it at AMC, and I was a hole in my Disney resume that I have not seen it. Well, I went and saw it at the AMC.
Oh, good.
One of my days off last week, and I really enjoyed it. Princess and the Frog is so good.
Yeah, it's, I'll have to go back and watch it again too. I think I haven't given it enough, due diligence, but I've seen it once. Yeah. But
I mean, her little debutante friend, her best friend in the movie, is so funny. I am a Cajun boy, so I love that. I love how much it brings out the Cajun culture, and uh-huh. that is such a big part of the movie and plays such a big role. It's a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. So that is recommendation number one, Princess and the Frog. I thought it was great. I loved it. I had such a great time seeing it. And I'm glad I got to see it in a theater.
Right.
For the first time. That was great. And then number two, this is going to come as no surprise.
Okay.
But so Cher just released some new music. That's not necessarily new. It's her covers of some ABBA songs. Oh, and it's so gay.
It really is.
And it's so fun.
I actually listened to it today.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I listened to it on my way over here. I've been listening to it going to work.
The drums when it's I know.
So good. She's just such a treasure. I love her. I think it's just fun. I feel like she... It fits her so well because she has that kind of disco background,
right.
And 60s, 70s was when she was
80s.
Very,
she was, well, she I mean, was she's pretty been, big in yeah, the 80s.
She's too. Been big every decade.
She's since timeless.
She really is. But she is so of that time. Whereas like if Britney Spears came out with like a cover of ABBA songs, it would feel kind of disingenuous.
Maybe.
I think,
do you know what the thing is though, is I always find it weird when somebody who was popular at the same time as the songs that they're covering, like, I mean, it's good and I like it, but I always tend to appreciate the covers more of bands that were influenced and came up listening to the bands that they're covering.
I get that too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's a great point. But I don't know, like it almost makes me think like this could have been a Cher song.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely thought that listening to some of them, like,
yeah, know. Like these could have been Cher songs.
I mean, ABBA never auto-tuned. So.
but it's so fun between the Star Is Born Shallow song and then the Cher ABBA cover is like, that's all I'm listening to right now, and I'm not ashamed of it.
I'm surprised you're not, you know, like dressed in like skinny leggings and, you know, just like really gaying it out right now or something.
Don't ruin my outfit for the audience. Let them imagine me in whatever they want to imagine me in.
Okay. All right. Well, those are great
which
too.
Based on how I look is probably heavily clothed and probably bag over my face is what they're wanting.
No, they don't know that they should put the bag over your face because we don't do a video podcast.
Oh, true. True, true.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Great.
Good times.
I'm glad that I actually listened to that Cher album, though. Just if for nothing else, just to be able to agree with you. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Same here with the Lovin's in Stereo.
All right. Well, Ryan, I'm ready to wrap this thing up.
Well, I was going to make a joke about how that's usually the like line that a guy uses on Grindr when he's ready to like go ahead and let's do this thing.
You ever had a guy come over?
Yep, several times.
And you just look at him and you're like, well, fuck it, he's here.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yep. Or vice versa. You go over there and you're like, well, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
More times than I would like to be the case.
I had a few of those back in my day.
I know. Just be glad you're married. It's only getting worse out there.
I am. Oh, I thank the maker every night for that.
Yeah.
And by the maker, I mean George Lucas.
I thought you were going to say Cher.
You have your 70s icon. I have my 70s icon.
Fair. That's fair. Totally fair.
All right. Well, standard issue outro here. If you haven't already, become a real friend. Follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our page on Facebook. Also, wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. We would greatly appreciate it. Especially if on iTunes you gave us a 5-star rating, because that means something in iTunes world. So anyway,
it does. Do it.
You can also send us questions or comments to realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. So
listen, you can tell me in person or via Snapchat or Instagram or however you people are telling me that you like the show. It means shit to me if you don't actually rate us on iTunes. You gotta do that.
Right. Skip the Grindr for once and go on to iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that. Instead of saying, hey.
You may actually get a response from Ryan if you do it that way.
For real. For real.
For real.
For reals.
All right. All right. Everybody, that is it for this week. Have a real gay day.